Willkommen zu Paranormal Partners.
Hello, everyone. Sorry, we went MIA again.
Yeah, it's just been a busy time of our lives right now.
Surprisingly, with the quarantine, I think I'm busier than I was, like,
Jade's almost graduated. I'm so excited.
One week.
I can't even speak English because I'm so excited about it.
I'm more distracted by Timber's hot breathing.
Hot breathing. She's licking my phone screen.
Oh, Timber. Well, this is another week of Paranormal Partners.
This week we're doing encounters.
Encounters, yep. So, real quick, we did a little paranormal escapade this week.
We did.
Two things, actually. First thing we did is we visited the infamous Hummel Park in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yep.
But we went during the daytime, and I do have to say it was pretty creepy, not gonna lie.
It is creepy.
I could definitely see it being, like, super, super scary at night, because the whole park is pretty creepy looking. A lot different than here. Like, it's kind of almost run down, but, like, I don't know. People live in there, so whatever.
Yeah, I would not. Sorry if you're listening and you live there, but would not want to live there.
Scary. Hummel Park has these infamous stairs that are supposedly cursed, and they have a different number of stairs going up than they do down, supposedly, as it goes. And I did them. I took a video. I am going to put it on our Facebook page, so I won't tell you how it turned out, but very interesting. Hummel Park. And we also did some other stuff this week. We went to one of the places where we first met. We went to the cemetery again. And had a grand old spooky time investigating out there. So.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good weekend. Spooky, spooky. So.
Well, I have a spooky yawning story to tell you about. Mid-yawn. I'll yawn the entire story. How do you like that?
No. Now I want to yawn. What's your story about?
Well, I've been holding off to tell you about this dream.
Oh, yeah.
Forever.
I actually forgot.
I need to jog my memory, but it's hard for me to remember most of my dream, but I was, like, in the forest.
Just a random forest, or?
Yeah, any forest.
Okay.
And I was being chased by something.
A Wendigo?
I don't know, but I remember I got caught by it, and I was laying down, and I could feel it wrapping around me. And I was like, oh, no, I've got sleep paralysis.
Really?
And I was, like, trying as hard as I can to get out of the sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was biting my cheek.
And you're, like, this is legit. Like, you were biting your cheek.
Yeah, in my sleep.
In your sleep. Okay.
And then I woke up in my parents' basement. And I had blood all over my face because I bit my cheek so hard. And I screamed, and they came downstairs, and they're like, what's wrong, Eric? And I was just telling them that I had an awful nightmare, and I was, like, cleaning up my wound. And I was like, yeah, I just have this weird feeling that something's after me. And then I looked at them, and I heard this deep demonic laugh that was like, whoa.
Really?
And I woke up in my bedroom.
Same laugh as the one demon you had the dream about when you were a kid? The Germany demon? Or different?
What?
You know, remember you told me about how you had sleep paralysis, or, well, you didn't know if it was sleep paralysis or you were awake, where you saw that thing look in and say sorry?
It didn't laugh.
I know, but, like, was it the same, like, voice?
No.
No?
No.
Different?
Different.
That's weird that you would go to the basement. Like, I definitely think something's up with that house. Because we had all the other things happen there at that basement. Interesting. What do you make of it?
I don't know. Just a weird dream.
But it wasn't. So you actually didn't have sleep paralysis in real life?
I don't know. I had it in the dream. And
you woke up in your dream. That's such a weird feeling to, like, in your dream that you're asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And wake up in your dream, but be asleep.
I know. It's really trippy and weird.
Spooky.
Definitely. All right, let's get on with the stories. Can I tell my story first?
You just told a story.
Fine, go ahead.
Okay. So mine's like sad, kind of sad, but like kind of lighthearted-ish. Not like too bad. Not like deathly terrifying. But this one's called Little Butchie the Night. Little Butchie the Night.
Okay.
So, this person says that Butchie was a purebred King Charles Cavalier. I decided to buy him one day because I wanted a baby but had miscarried and I needed that extra love in my life. My husband worked in the mines in Queensland, Australia, and was often away for 2 weeks at a time. We moved into a new rental house in rural Queensland, and I got myself a puppy to keep me company. Little did I know that this dog would grow up to be my knight in shining armor. At a few months old, he was super adorable, but I noticed he started behaving oddly. He would suddenly growl at a hallway or a doorway. He would burst into me having a shower and stand guard in the shower doorframe, soaking wet and growling. He would suddenly rush to my side and sit on my feet and take up a protective stance, putting himself in between whatever it was away from me. Aussie dogs love being outside. My dog loves sleeping outside too. So when he is outside, often he has a doggy bed for the outside. But every morning, I would see it dragged to my bedroom window. I soon realized that he was keeping watch. He was protecting me from whatever it was. Ooh, could you imagine Timber doing that?
Ooh.
Whilst living there, strange things often happen. The TV would turn off or on mysteriously, channels changing for no reason, furniture moving. I had returned from the hospital one day and my couch started to shake and move.
Ugh.
Too exhausted and also rationalizing that it was probably due to my pain that I was imagining it. I have also to mention here that each phenomenon was accompanied by a particular smell, and it wasn't until years later that I learned what that smell was. So at this point, you might be thinking CO2. My Aussie rental house had no gas outlet. It was all electrical indoors, and windows were always wide open in this rural setting. Bad things were happening to me whilst living there. I got really sick. I couldn't get pregnant and miscarried when I did. I would have the worst luck, such as getting into minor car accidents and just very minor, irritating things that the odds happening was so rare. I wasn't feeling well and took vitamins to try to get better. During a lunchroom discussion at work, the hospital staff asked where I lived. I told them about my deteriorating health, no physiological cause. They hesitantly told me the Sydney girl, she's from Sydney, Australia, some local history. To my dismay, they told me the history of the land my house was at. It was the site that thousands of Aboriginals were gathered and massacred brutally. Oh, that's so sad. We promptly moved, but just before moving, we went on vacation to Sydney. I visited my parents and stayed at their place in Sydney. We brought Butchie along. Whilst having a day nap, I saw Butchie in my dreams. The dream had him and a baby locked in the car together. Petrified, I ran to the car to check on this child and him. I opened the door, and Butchie ran out of the car happily. I figured, I'll chase him later. I then checked on the baby and took it to the hospital. The baby was fine, but there was no parents. So I asked if I could keep the baby. I woke up. Waking from my day nap, I heard a loud bang. I ran out to see the commotion. It was Butchie. He heard the children playing across the road and ran towards the sound, and he was hit by a truck.
Aww.
My dad carried him back to our front yard, and he was dying. Seconds later, and tears in my eyes, I saw the life leave his body. He was dead and took his last breath. Then a smell, I was so familiar with the smell because it was the smell I smelled at the old rental home. I realized the smell was the smell of death. A week after Butchie's death, I was pregnant. We moved and all those bad things stopped. Goodbye, aww. Butchie.
What a sweetie.
Oh, isn't that so sad? It's so sad, but it seems like the dog, like, I mean, the dog was clearly protecting her from something. And that smell that she'd smell every time paranormal things happening was the smell of death. So maybe, like, Butchie was protecting her until he knew, like, it was his time to go.
Yep.
But here's a theory. She got pregnant right after Butchie died. So what if Butchie's being reincarnated as her new baby?
I'd believe it.
Oh. And then the baby just starts, like, crawling wolfing. On all, like, yeah, wolfing, hands on all fours.
Timber.
Never gets out of its crawling stage.
Are you going to be our baby one day?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. All right, Eric, what story you got for us?
All right, so this one's called My Uncle's Creepy Truck Driving Story.
Ooh. I have a truck. And maybe
this is a different type of truck. Oh. This is like a semi-truck.
Trucker. Okay.
So, this is from his perspective.
Okay.
My name is Rick Martinez, and I'm a retired truck driver.
The voice.
This happened when I was like 30 years old, and now I'm 62. On the road, I've seen many strange things. I've told this story over and over. A lot of people don't believe me, but it starts off in Stockton, California, where I picked up a load of pipe. My destination was Salt Lake City, Utah. I was supposed to refuel in Barstow, California, at a truck stop. But lo and behold, they were out of fuel. So I told a supervisor, hey, I got like half a tank of fuel. He told me to continue and hit the first truck stop I see. So 100 miles into Nevada, nothing but desert. Saw nothing but a sparsely lit desert with a couple towns. When I noticed my gauge was set ready, reading on empty. And I'm thinking, that's not right. So I took the first exit I saw and pulled over. I told my supervisor, who was right behind me, an hour away, that I was afraid to continue on and run the tanks dry. So he told me to sit still while he would be there in an hour, and he could siphon some of his fuel into mine. Wow. That'd be scary.
That would be scary.
So I sat there, and I noticed that it was a small town with sparse lighting. As I sat there, I couldn't run the engine, so I couldn't listen to the radio, so I sat there in silence.
Oh no, that's terrible.
I don't do drugs, and I didn't make this up, so listen carefully. As I'm sitting there, I notice a lot of undone construction. A trailer park to my right, completely dark, and a church off to my left, about a block away, with its lights on. It's about 2 a.m. That's creepy. And I see this
complete silence. Oh, that'd be terrible.
And I see this jackrabbit hopping around my truck. It hops around and just stares at me, and it keeps hopping around. So I'm getting hungry, and I notice what looks to be a convenience store about another block away from the church. So I get off the truck and decide to walk to the store. While I'm walking, I keep hearing this dog howling like it's in pain.
Oh no.
As I'm passing the church, the two doors are wide open, and I hear clapping like they're having services. As I pass the church, I look inside, and there's no one except for a skinny, white old man reading from the Bible and talking about hell.
What the heck?
I don't linger too long and pass the church. Then I heard the clapping again. About then, the dog starts howling again. I notice there's a bunch of empty houses on the street that go up the hill. I'm still making my way towards the house and towards what I think is a little mini mart. All the time, the dog keeps howling. All the lights are on. As I go inside, a little old lady with glasses is reading a book. There's hardly anything in the store. Maybe a few cans of food, a couple bags of chips, water in the refrigerator. The whole time, the lady didn't even pick her head up from the book. So I grab a water, chips. I'm hungry as hell and have nothing to eat.
Oh no.
So I asked the old lady, is this all you have? And where's everybody at? She told me everybody moved out and new construction was supposed to begin like 6 months ago. And she didn't say anything after that. So I paid her and walked out and started walking back towards the truck.
That's weird that there's like someone in
the church.
But also in the convenience store in the town where there's supposedly nobody at 2 a.m.
I know.
Like, that's just odd. Obviously, the church is someone being in the church at 2 a.m. doing that, that's clearly odd, but
the whole time, yeah. The dog is still howling. So as I got closer towards the church, I looked up the street towards where I heard the howling from. I decided to go see for myself why the dog was howling. Bad idea.
Oh, no.
So there's a house on both sides of the street that are boarded up and dark. I saw a house with the lights on, with about a 5-foot fence. When I looked over the fence, I was in shock. What I saw was a man in his underwear, on a chain attached to his neck, on all fours, howling.
What?
The hairs on my arms and neck stood up, and I saw another man burst through the back door and kick the man on all fours and start yelling at him to shut up. And then the man on all fours ran into a doghouse. I was in shock and turned and ran back down the hill to my truck. As I passed the church, both doors still wide open, but there is no lights on anymore, and I can still hear the clapping.
Oh my god.
Finally, I made it to my truck. I called my supervisor and I told him what I saw. I told him to hurry and get there so I can leave. My supervisor asked what exit I was talking about, and I told him, and he said he passed that. He had to turn around and come back to get me. So I'm sitting there, and the rabbit is still hopping around my truck. It stopped and looked up at me as I'm sitting in my truck, and I'm not I'm not saying the rabbit said it, but this is what I heard. Leave.
What?
I rolled up the window and waited for my supervisor, who showed up 5 minutes after. I told my supervisor what happened, and he just laughed at me and told me, I'm going to have to drug test you. I did not sleep on the whole trip to Utah until I got to Salt Lake City. Believe it or not, I swear this is what happened.
What?
And everyone
heck?
In the comments is saying that the rabbit was a skinwalker.
That's what I was thinking. That was my first thought when you said, like, a howling dog or the rabbit. I was thinking skinwalker. It's in Utah, too, so that would make sense, but...
That's terrifying, isn't it?
Did he not... Like, if I saw somebody on a chain acting like a dog and get kicked by another man, like, wouldn't you call the police?
That's like the scene from Pulp Fiction.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'd call the police.
That's some Pulp Fiction kind of stuff, and that's freaking scary. What do you think was going on in the church?
I have no idea.
It kind of reminds me of, like, Silent Hill.
I was going to say Silent Hill.
Like, a weird version of Silent Hill. I think I probably would have taken my chances and ran out of gas on the interstate and just left the second I saw that.
Yeah, maybe.
That's pretty freaking scary. He wasn't dreaming?
Nope.
All right, last story for the evening. This is called Abandoned Hospital Doesn't Like Visitors. So, hello, I have a creepy story from about 2 years ago that really captivates me to this day. When I've told this story to close friends, they tell me it's straight out of a movie. I really can't disagree with that. This starts when I finished my first year of college in the Bay Area. I worked my butt off in school, and I just wanted to have a wild summer, and I would do anything I could to get out of the house. My cousin was/is my best friend, and we basically did anything and everything together. When there wasn't anything to do, we take walks together around my rural neighborhood. I always lived near this old hospital, which used to operate as the biggest trauma unit in my area. Sometimes when I was in high school, they shut the hospital down due to unknown reasons. They shut the hospital down, as in like...
Like completely donezo.
Sorry, yes. It basically just sat there rotting for a few years before we found it. One day, my cousin and I were drinking a cold one, taking one of our routine walks, and ventured from our usual route through this peaceful, random field. We stumbled across this huge parking lot after making it out of the field, but it didn't hit me that this was the old hospital's parking lot we found. We made our way through the lot until we saw this massively grand building standing outside of the lot. The deteriorated banner said emergency room, and this is when we knew we struck gold and stumbled across a back route to this abandoned hospital. We knew of this place, but we had never been here. We hadn't heard any weird outlandish urban legends, nor had anyone we knew been here before us. We pushed forward and checked the perimeter. To our surprise, the first door we walked up to had a rock jammed in between the door frame so we could waltz in. This is when we realized this could potentially be a bad idea if we got caught and we could suffer some consequences. We agreed we would be quick and respectful and make it a quick trip. This is where things take a turn. Or a few turns. Dun dun dun! We enter the building and it was the most deafening quiet I have ever heard. The sound of the door closing behind us sounded like a literal bombing. Once the echo stopped from the door, it dawned on us that this place was freaking creepy. We walked slowly, but the floor is covered in glass, which makes even the smallest step sound like Bigfoot lumbering around a library. Fun fact, the reason I found this was because I
searched Bigfoot.
We find a patient room, which still had a bed inside. We stopped at the doorway to look inside because the floor looks sketchy. Out of nowhere, from around the corner, we hear the faintest, slow, drawn-out whistling. I've never in my life stopped what I was doing so suddenly. I just stare wide-eyed at my cousin because even a whisper sounds like yelling in this place. We both have our feet planted to the ground because if we move, those two will make ourselves known. At this point, we both assumed there could potentially be a squatter or a guard of some sort. My cousin hand gestured to me that we have to leave and we can't just stand here because the whistling was obviously not going to stop at that point. We turned towards the opposite side of the corner that the whistling is at and are tiptoeing out to a perfect science. Then the whistling stops. We freeze. Then we hear the glass crunching from around the corner. We start running. Once we get to the door we came from, we realize we didn't put a rock in the door frame when we came in, and the door is completely stuck. As we're trying to get the door to open, the glass crunching is now running. We hear the glass crunching until it sounds like it's dangerously close. I'm so freaking awful. Horrified. Yeah, I'd be so terrified. I think I'd be more scared of a person, though. I'd be way too. More scared that it was a person. We turned around to try another door, and the noise of the glass is literally right in front of us. Yet no one is there. No one. We book it to a door that says pharmacy and peel open the door. The pharmacy is completely empty except a single, perfectly placed and aligned landline phone plugged into the wall. So what comes to mind? You know that game? What's that? Is it Outlast?
Yes.
That one game where you sneak into the
insane asylum.
Yeah, that's exactly what it comes to mind. So, not only is there a perfectly placed and aligned landline phone in the wall, but the phone is off the hook and making a dial tone noise. The whole thing was perfectly lined up and centered with the whole room, and I've never seen anything like it. The dial tone was so loud in such an empty place. There wasn't power throughout the hospital, so how was it working? I was in shock. We left and never went back. I had heard of some other kids going there at night. They told me they heard whistling and thought someone was lurking in the shadows the whole time. It's a freaky world out there, guys.
Good story.
I can't even imagine. I wish they would have said how they got out of that place, because.
Would you pick the phone up?
Well, I'd maybe pick it up and put it back onto the.
You didn't hang up on them?
Yeah, well, it's just a dial tone noise, like.
Oh, so they picked it up.
It was off the hook already.
Oh, okay.
It was perfectly placed in the middle of the room, but it was off the hook. But my worry would be if I put it back on the hook that it would ring.
Yeah.
Why? Okay. How would there be power there? And why is there just a single landline phone? My other thought could be potentially that somebody was using this place as like a drug drop off or something like that, or like something like illegal.
Yeah.
Because it's like abandoned and. But that still wouldn't make sense how there would be power there. So it's a ghost, obviously, or Bigfoot, maybe.
It's a Bigfoot.
Yeah. You guys know the routine. Follow us on Facebook or Instagram, Paranormal Partners. And we'll pick a theme next week. What do we want to do next week?
Send in your dog treats to Timber.
Yeah. PO Timber.Wolf666.
Wolf, wolf, wolf.
What should our theme be next week? Any ideas?
Timber.
What if we did Banshees? I'm kind of interested in that.
Okay, yeah, we'll do Banshees next week.
Banshees. Okay, guys, have a good one. Look for that video. I'm going to post it on our Facebook page and probably our Instagram. It'll be long, though. So, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.